Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We'll try again tomorrow.
To have a Kuminga-free show?
To not do a show that's all about... damn it, the Giants need to score a run.
You know who else needs to score?
I've had it. The Giants need to score. The Giants and Jonathan Kuminga are opposites. All Jonathan does is score, right?
He cooks.
And it's all the Giants don't do. They don't score.
They try.
Yeah, they try. So does Jonathan.
Well, the Giants have scored 30 runs in the last 15 games, so they do score.
Not really.
That's the crazy thing that I unearthed today. It's not rocket science, but they're averaging 2 runs a game. They're giving up 2.2 runs a game over their last 15.
No, if you average 2 runs a game, I don't know how the hell you're 7-8.
If you give up 2.2 runs a game, I don't know how you're not 12-3.
Right.
So we can do it both ways.
Well, by having them both happen simultaneously.
Right.
That's how. That's how.
Literally how.
You play 500 baseball because everybody's averaging 2 runs, and on some nights they only score 1 and you score 2. That's how you do it.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh, what I wouldn't give for 5 runs tonight. 5. 5 runs tonight. Don't smile at me like that, Risotto. You smile at me like, well, that's a stupid request. I mean, you looked at me like it's like somebody asking for a date with Kate Upton or something over here. Like, it's not. 5 runs in a game is not ridiculous.
It is for this team.
Oh, God.
They've played 60 games. Is that right?
Correct.
How many times? Lucas, game show music, please. The Giants have played 60 games this season.
Yep.
Of Major League Baseball.
Yep.
Of the 60, within, I'll give you plus or minus 2.
You have the number already?
Of course.
How many times they've scored 5?
I'll ask the questions here, Buster. The Giants have played 60 games. Plus or minus 2 games in either direction. How many times have they scored 5 or more runs? Let's go to Mark in the back.
I can eliminate the last 15, so let's actually knock it down to 45.
Look at you.
So in the first 45.
Look at the big brain on Brett.
Hey! 45 games, first 45 games, how many times did they score 5 or more? I would guess that they did that in those 45 games. They probably did that. Well, they're averaging close to 5 runs a game.
Barely 4.
No. In those first 45,
yeah,
they were averaging like a little over 4.5. So I got to say that it wasn't an average game, but it was almost an average game. So I'll go a little bit less than 50% of those games, and I'll say 19.
You can put it on the board.
Yeah!
The answer is 20.
Oh!
20 of the 60.
Let's go.
Have they scored five or more? And in those games, they are 18-2, Mark.
No!
Thank
my
you.
God.
So, can you? They lost.
It's a win.
They lost 8-7 against Arizona, yep. And they lost 7-6 in 10 against Minnesota.
Minnesota.
18-2 when you score five.
That's crazy.
I mean, you're not asking for,
no,
for eight.
They pitch their arses off. They're unbelievable on the mound.
Yep.
They're incredible.
They are 1-13 when they score one run or fewer.
They've only won 1-0 game once?
Yeah.
How many times have they lost a 1-0 game?
They've been shut
out twice in the last 3 days.
They've been shut out 7 times. So
yeah, but how many times was it 1-0?
Twice.
Just twice?
No, no, no. Thrice.
Okay.
Thrice.
Saturday, last night, and when was the other one?
It was back on April 8th against Cincinnati.
Huh.
April 8th.
It's annoying when you lose 1-0.
They got a couple. They got 3 2-0s and a 3-0. They don't have like an 8-0 against them on their ledger.
No, they don't give up those kind of runs.
No. Nope.
That's a week's worth of runs for the Giants. 8 runs. Damn. It's frustrating, brother. All right. We're going to be all over. Who do you want to put on the Bay Area hot seat? We got a full board here. Let's work through everybody. I have a feeling this is going to go about 8 different directions.
Well, probably just the one direction.
You're a 1D fan?
All roads lead back to Jonathan Kuminga.
No, I do see some people who want to talk about other things. There
Let's
are,
do it.
Yeah, there's some Giants. There's some Nick Bosa. There's, I don't want to pull my hair out over the Giants. Someone wants to talk about the Knicks. I mean, we're all over the damn map.
That one's been on hold a long time.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a new one.
Okay.
That one went away, and now there's a new one. All right, Gary in Indiana, you be first. Hey, Gary, not the city in Indiana, right? You're actually named Gary in Indiana, right?
Hello?
Yeah, Gary, are you there?
Hi, Gary.
Oh, yeah. No, not Indiana, Morgan Hill.
Oh.
Oh, all right. Well, somehow.
Close, Risotto.
Only
about 2,000 miles off with that one.
Well, Indiana, Morgan Hill, it sounds exactly the same. I totally get it. Hello, Gary.
I know Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I like, love when
shout,
you guys.
Shout out to Jackson 5. Let's go ahead. Yeah.
I love when you guys do the, I know it's not Price is Right, is Bob Barker, right?
No, it definitely was Price is Right. Yeah, yeah, you had it. You had it.
No, I said I was thinking of Wheel of Fortune, my bad.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, too soon.
I was kind of a pressure luck guy. Anyway, go ahead, Gary.
I know this is messed up, but we got to put it on the kicker, Jake Moody. He's on the hot seat.
Yeah, he definitely is.
I don't like it. I don't like putting it like kickers. He's a rookie, too. Like, come on, he was just living the life at Michigan the year before, you know. But, and wish, RIP Mitch Wishnowsky. I'm going to miss him so bad.
Are you really, Gary?
Yes, I really am, because the way he was on special teams, like hitting people, like, oh my gosh, you can't love that. You can't not love that, I mean.
I personally kind of don't love that. I don't think kickers should ever try to make a tackle. Literally. I do not believe kickers should try to make
a
tackle.
Well, what if it's a rugby player, right?
Well, right, but it's not. Like, I want sport, so. my whole goal for the kicker is to still be available in the fourth quarter. That's kind of my thing.
And he was in preseason when he would, like, light people up. But, yeah, I guess it's preseason. I saw when Jake, John Kuminga, he was lights out. He was balling out like one game when Curry was gone, and his dad loved it. And I just want to know is like who is John Kuminga's like favorite player? I'm pretty sure it's LeBron James because he's at the age and he's like a locomotive, and that's how he plays. Like he's, you know, he wants to score, you know, and maybe when Curry's not out there, maybe that's not the best way to play, you know?
Well, Gary, thanks. I think when Curry's not out there, that is the way to play. It's when Curry's out there that it's I think the Warriors feel it's not the way to play. And this is why this is so kind of difficult and touchy. Jonathan doesn't need to apologize for his skill set, but the way I see this is that he arrived at a team where he does something really well, but that job is not open. That job is not open. Like, if you want to liken this to at the start of the year, what was Camilo Duvall's skill set? Well, he throws 100 miles an hour, and he's been a closer. Well, at the start of the year, the Giants are like, that job's taken, so we're going to pitch you in the sixth inning. And then he bided his time. He pitched really well, and now when Ryan Walker didn't pitch well, now that job's open, and so you can have that job. So I think the Warriors for a while, and this is probably how Joe Lacob sees it, because we all know he loves Jonathan Kuminga, that job might be open in 2 years. I just don't know if we can get there. I don't know if the Warriors and Kuminga can get there together. Maybe.
Depends on what happens here.
Yeah, that job might be open in 2 years, but it's not open right now.
No, and it's not even open when Steph is not on the floor if Jimmy Butler is, because you want the ball to go through Jimmy Butler. So if you want to add up the minutes where Steph and Jimmy are both off the court, those are very few minutes, and so Kuminga doesn't even have the opportunity when Steph's out to take that job, because Steve Kerr has been very clear about, you know, that's Jimmy. When Steph's not in there, we're going to run through Jimmy Butler. So it's up to Kuminga then to develop other skills, and your Duvall analogy works because he got put in the sixth inning, not because he's no good, but because the job was taken, and when you do well at your job, and then that job becomes open, now you get another chance. If Duvall was bad in the sixth inning, well, they probably would be using Rodriguez as the closer right now instead of Duvall.
No, he might be the one who gets the job at some point down the road.
He's unbelievably nasty.
He's absurd, although, you know what, I kind of dig him not being the closer, because what they're doing instead, kind of making him a roving closer. In other words, we're just going to find the most leveraged point of the game, and we're going to go to Randy Rodriguez. Might actually be kind of a nouveau way of doing things out of the bullpen going forward, because I get it, the closer, it's the ninth inning, you want to win the game. But that's not always a leveraged spot. You could come in and get 1-2-3, and the game is over. Instead, what you're doing with your most important reliever is you're trying to pick the moment in the game that is the highest leverage spot and have that reliever in at that time. And so the fact that the Giants kind of have, in a way, you could make the case, they've got three closers that are all kind of roving around. But that's how I see Randy's job right now, is just like when stuff is really necessary, go to Randy. And sometimes that could be the fifth inning. Sometimes it's the eighth inning. And he's just been incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Guess who's on the line? Trevor in Roanoke Park. I did the pod last week.
Nice.
Yeah. Trevor, hey, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Now you can actually hear me, hopefully.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I know every... What's that?
We got you. We hear you.
All right, right on. So, hey, I know everybody's doing the Jonathan Kuminga thing, but I just thought I'd throw out an interesting name in Nick Bosa, just because I don't really see him... I don't see the production out of him unless it's garbage time, and it's been that way for a couple of years. And I can just see, like, a guy who probably there is trade value there. But I just don't see him coming through in the last few years like a big name like Bosa commands, you know? So I've kind of been disappointed with him. I would say if he doesn't have a big year this year, then maybe he's a guy that might be worth taking a look at trading.
Trevor, that's an interesting one. You're not alone by any stretch. And I do think there's a fair conversation to be had with regard to Nick Bosa and production. I will admit sort of what I feel is kind of like a weak point on the Nick Bosa conversation. I can't seem to figure this out, because I think he's a great player. It's a performance-based industry. Like our previous callers, like, I feel bad for Jake Moody. Don't. It's a performance-based industry.
Yep.
They all signed up for it. They know it. You have, like, your job. Kick the ball between the uprights. If you don't, you lose your job. That's it. Period. Okay. Nick Bosa,
It's more nuanced.
Nuanced, but Nick is caught somewhere between we want more sack totals, but then over here on the left side of the ledger is the analytics world that keeps telling us that Nick Bosa is one of the top five pass rushers in the game in terms of pressures and win rate and all of those things. And I'll admit it, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with it. The league is like, no, dude, offensive lineman, that's the guy they don't want to face. He's really tough. But then you're not getting the sack totals that you want. What are we supposed to do with that? I don't know anymore.
Well, as a fan, you have to either trust the coaches and what the experts tell you, or you just...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go by what you look at when you look at sack totals. And I'm just looking at the edge percentage win rate last year, and he had a very good win rate percentage. And overall, he was ranked number five among edge rushers in, you know, wins and plays and edge percentage with the wins and all the rest of it. And he gets double teamed a lot. And this year, I do like the hot seat talk for Nick Bosa, because now you got help. You got a first round draft pick, and you just paid a guy or you traded for a guy in free agency. So it looks like you have more help this year than you probably did last year.
In theory, but this time of year, we always think they just went and got Nick Bosa help. We thought this last year.
Yeah, but you got a new fancy coordinator that you got back.
Yes.
So automatically, that plus your team brought in a first-round pick and you traded for another guy. So Nick should have more help, which would alleviate some of the excuses.
I agree with everything you're saying. I just still think they're still just names. Michael Williams, first-round draft pick. So it should work. But I don't know. Can you think of any first-round draft picks that didn't work out?
On the defensive line on this team? Not a one.
I mean,
Solomon Thomas?
I can't think of any other names at any
Javon
position.
Javon Kinlaw?
Like,
I'm just thinking about first-round D linemen.
Or have you seen any major free agency acquisitions on the defensive line that didn't work out?
Javon Hargrave comes
exactly.
to mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and Leonard Floyd was kind of a mixed bag. But I just, like, yes, I agree with you. In theory, this should now be better. But I don't know what kind of production they're going to get from those guys. I hope it's great. Optimism of June is always a plenty when it comes to that. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, Odyssey Sports Station, home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, taking your phone calls on who you want to put on the Bay Area Sports hot seat. We've had three NBA coaches who made the playoffs and got fired on the hot seat, even though maybe we didn't know they were on the hot seat. Tom Thibodeau was fired today by the New York Knicks after an appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals. And we made the comment yesterday that nobody, no coaches or execs with the Niners, Giants, or Warriors are on the hot seat. But what if we welcome the whole damn metropolitan area and all of the players in it? Who do you want to put on the hot seat? 888-957-9570. How about Nate in the city? Hi, Nate. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Oof, I thought I was going to have to follow Grandpa Daddy, and I can only hope that my comments and some other things are half as virile as his. So I told the screener I was going to talk about Tibbs. Obviously, I the guy never plays more than 9 players in a playoff series during the season. His best player was hobbled before, series even started. And I think, if you want any – if you want any expert opinion about Tibbs and how he drives his players into the ground, you all need to get a Taj Gibson on your show. But I won't touch too much on the Kuminga topic, but I will say the only mistake I think Kerr made is I think maybe my time on throwing. I think we were down in game 2 big. He probably could have had him come in the third or fourth and gave him a little run when they were down 15 or 20. But I guess, we saw what his basketball IQ is. And, when Steph goes out and he comes in, I think maybe the first possession, he goes into the paint, does a little, foul draw, kind of throws hands up in the air. The rest of the Rockets have the ball and they take off and he's sitting there wondering why the refs aren't calling it. And, I think we watched the first 2 games pretty accurately. The refs are not going to call any of the calls that he wanted. And I think that was probably a steep learning curve for him.
Nate, thanks. Yeah, appreciate it. I just, so Nate's point kind of as far as like, was there a different way to play it when maybe an opportunity arises because you're down 15 points in the fourth quarter or whatever? I always have a hard time with this because you and I have talked about it so much in the NBA. Leads are not what they used to be. And if we've got a team over here winning a basketball game in the playoffs on the road, when they're down by 14 with 2 minutes and 45 seconds left, then being down 15 early in the fourth quarter, that's not garbage time anymore. That's not exploration time anymore. Yeah, we can argue till we're blue in the face, and we have, with regard to how they were supposed to play it. But once they went with what they had, I continue to argue it went pretty well. It absolutely went pretty well. And even in those moments where maybe you're down 15 in the fourth quarter, I still want you to try to win that game.
Yeah.
Why don't you try to go on a run?
25 is where you
That's
start
different.
To think about it.
Sure.
And he was referencing game 2 against Minnesota, and I'm just glancing at it to refresh. And Kuminga comes in. They're down 13-5. He makes a jumper, misses 2 free throws, turns it over. 3 minutes go by. He gets taken out, and they're down 23-7.
Yep.
So they went from down 8 to down 16 in 3 minutes. Not to blame him, obviously, for
Not
all
at
of
all.
It, but it was a pretty quick hook on Kuminga in that first quarter.
And remember that game, they admitted afterwards that the Warriors as a group were like, let's sort of try a bunch of different things
right.
and see what looks like what. We may end up losing the game, but this is going to be our best opportunity to feel like we can put together a game plan because they're rebooting everything that they're doing because they got no Steph.
Yeah.
So that kind of speaks to that, I think.
They played 11 guys in the first quarter. That's not, I mean, that's kind of like,
team.
That's mid-November.
I mean,
remember that when he was playing 12 and 13 guys?
Yeah, or for most teams, that's called the preseason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But playoffs, and, you know, his point about Coach Thibodeau is a good one because he grinds his team all year long. He plays his players a ton, and you get to the playoffs, and oh boy, what a surprise that we have a tired team. And I was just looking at his record. He's coached almost 1,000 games in the regular season, and he's got a great record, but in the playoffs, he's got a losing record.
Who's this?
This is Thibodeau.
Oh.
He has a .579 winning percentage during the regular year, almost 1,000 games. In the playoffs, it's a .466.
Yeah.
And he's never,
I mean, you're
never
playing,
won a conference, and he's never won a title.
You're playing all the better teams, so.
Right.
Right.
But there's normally.
Probably a lot of coaches that would follow that. Like, unless you're the championship coaches, you know, when you get to the playoffs, you're getting knocked out at some point.
Fewer than you think.
Maybe.
Even a guy like Mike Brown, .599 in the regular, .556 in the post. You know, a little drop off, and I think you're right about that.
He had LeBron for some of those.
He did.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr, .648 in the regular, .684 in the playoffs.
Well, and championships.
Yeah, Popovich is .621 to .599, so
goes down a little bit.
Yeah, just a skosh. Yeah. Anyway,
Bay Area Brennan in Walnut Creek. Hi, Brennan. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Willy Adames. You know, he's one of those guys that you mentioned could be on the hot seat, and hey, I can't really argue with that. You know, like, his at-bats have been pretty painful to watch. Like, I think he was intentionally walked in the later innings last night, and I was just like, what are we doing here? But anyway, I've got the numbers up right here. He is hitting .206 with a .618 OPS, which is very far from what you want from your $182 million shortstop. But I had a feeling that I'd seen this before from him, and I went back through his game logs, and I was right. In 2023, so 2 years ago, at the end of June, he was hitting .199. So, you know, he's a streaky player, is I guess what I'm trying to get at. But towards the second half of that year, he finished the second half of the year with a .772 OPS. And then, of course, we know what he did in the following year, 2024, last year, 30 home runs, 110 RBIs around there. So what I'm really trying to get at is that, you know, I think he can turn it around. Like, he's shown that he gets off to a slow start, and, you know, it can continue for a long time, but I definitely don't think it's over for him by any means. You know, he's not a career 600 OPS guy, and I think once he turns around, which I feel like will be soon, that's when the Giants offense can turn around.
Brennan, thanks, man. I largely agree with you. I just don't think I'm not there yet on this conversation. You got to keep running him out there every day and see the ways this goes. I do wonder, though, if this experience might help some Giants fans recalibrate the thought process. Yesterday we were talking about hope versus expectation. Maybe move those expectations down just a little bit. The year that he referenced, 2023, where Willy Adames had 24 home runs, he drove in 80, he finished the year hitting .217.
Yeah.
Okay? So this whole, like, oh, God, he's hitting .206. He's a career .245 hitter. You know, the year before, in 2022, 31 home runs, 98 driven in. He hit .238. He's not going to hit .300. He's not a great hitter. He's a good hitter. He's a power bat. The power numbers are going to go down in San Francisco because they always do. So all I'm looking for out of Willy Adames is just more loud balls in play, more RBIs. I don't like if he hits .230 this year, fine, hit .230, but do more damage.
Yeah.
There needs to be more action when there's runners on base, more balls in play in those large situations, because that's been really bad so far.
And that's where you get the S in OPS.
Yep.
It's on base plus slugging, and slugging is computed by how many bases you get when you hit the ball and you get a single, double, triple, or homer, and that's where he's really struggling this year.
Yep.
He's only slugging .325, and I'm with you on the batting average, .206. He's probably going to hit, what, .240? He's .245 for his career. He might hit .230. Doesn't matter, but you need to be able to slug like you normally do, which is .436 for his career. All of a sudden you do that, you become a positive batting force, and this year he's not hitting the ball hard, and when he does, he's not really getting a lot out of it.
Yeah, he's a run producer, man. His RBI total the last 3 years in Milwaukee, 98, 80, and 112. This guy brings runs home. Not this year. Not this year.
No.
25. 25 runs driven in this year. Who do you want to put on the Bay Area hot seat? It could be anybody. You get the marketing director of one of the teams if you want. Literally anyone. I don't want to do that to the marketing director, but yeah. You know what I'm saying? Take this anywhere that you want to go. Who you want to put on the Bay Area hot seat right now, 888-957-957. Let's go to Ryan in San Jose. Hi, Ryan. We appreciate your call. What are you doing, man?
Hey, guys. I'm on 101 right now, just going home.
All right.
So I'm going to switch it up from baseball, go back to, I guess, what Filmo was talking about. I do think Kerr should be on the hot seat, but he'll never be on the hot seat. I think he's like so obsessed with the small ball stuff, and that's not going to work with the older roster that we have and with the league changing the way it has. And I mean, I think a good comparison is I think he doesn't adapt to the players he has. And like Rick Carlisle was fired at one point, and I think that's when he had Luca, and that's because he likes to do the pass first offense too. But they fired him. And that's my point, is that Steve Kerr always gets a free pass. And I do think he has a problem adapting to the roster and with the time. Thank you, guys.
Okay, Ryan, thanks. Interesting. Steve Kerr, Steve Kerr always gets a pass is a fun one for me.
And the fact that he has fallen in love with the small ball approach, I think it's because it's 1-4 different times.
That is adapting to your players. He doesn't have any big players.
And it's chicken or the egg. Like, do you not bring in big players because small ball works, or do you use small ball because you don't have big players?
It's probably a little bit of both.
And they've tried to have big players.
I mean, when Jimmy Butler arrived, did they adapt to that?
Did they adapt to Jimmy Butler?
Did they adapt their game when Jimmy Butler came? Like, did Steve Kerr adapt to his players when Jimmy Butler arrived? That looked to me like things changed. And I don't just mean in the standings. I mean the way they were playing basketball. The way they were playing basketball.
A little bit. I mean, they did things for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, through Jimmy with his ISO play, get to the free throw line late, create open looks for others. We talked about it for a few weeks. It wasn't just Jimmy. Jimmy showed up, and all the people around him started playing better basketball. Steph played better. Pods played better. Moody played better. Bunch of people played better. And I think it's because they sort of started playing a little bit of a different style. Other than that, like, I guess I would argue largely with what the Warriors have done most years, what is the change you're all looking for? Why would you do it differently? Like, the offense in the NBA runs through people. Like, it's not, even if you want to go back to Tex Winter and the triangle with the Lakers, it still ran through people. That was through the brilliance of Kobe Bryant and obviously Shaq down low and then what the decisions that they would make in that situation. The offense runs through Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. It's read and react and they're brilliant at it. I'm not sure why everybody's looking for some sort of an adjustment there. What exactly is it that you want to do differently?
Well,
and why?
Well, the reason would be because it's not working. Well, this works. And if you're going to have an ISO-based offense, you need to have your best player be an ISO player. And Steph Curry is not. You're not going to have Steph Curry and clear out a side and let him go one-on-one against somebody, take him off the dribble, go to the basket, and let Steph cook. He's 6'3", and what he does better than anybody else is run, move, catch, and shoot. And yes, he can shoot off the dribble and pass and all the rest of it, but you take the skill set of your best player and you build the offense around that skill. If your best player is Kevin Durant, you're not going to run this run-around ball screen offense. You're going to give the ball to Kevin and let Kevin go to work on people. And that's what you do as an NBA coach. You build your offense around your personnel. It's like in football, you know, Kyle Shanahan, he runs his offense a certain way, and so you're not going to have eight wide receivers on your team because you play bully ball. You like a couple tight ends and a fullback, and so you're going to build your team around what you want to run, and if you take over a team, you run what your team is going to be best at.
Yeah. It just, I mean, I don't know if you feel this way. When the season is funny, you asked the other day, like, what? How would you grade the Warriors season? And you and I both said a B+.
Yep.
And I get it. Sort of the disappointment of the way it ended. But outside of that, I thought, you know, tremendous amount of positives, some surprise turns, twists, things like that, some impressive periods of play, a playoff series victory, all of this. When the conversation goes here, and I'm very well aware of the platform where it's happening, this is sports radio where sometimes negativity is there to drown out positivity. It's very, very difficult to have it go the other way. But when this conversation unfolds the way it does, and we talk about the changes that Steve Kerr needs to make or should have made, and it's not working, and he's ruined this guy, and he holds something against that guy. I'm over here working on a premise that this has all worked really well. And sometimes it very much feels like that makes people very angry when I say that. Are we all working on the premise that it's not working? It's not working with the Warriors. Is that the premise? And I'm asking that very genuinely.
Yes, Mark, it's not working. They don't win the title every year. It's not working.
Okay.
I mean,
I know you're being facetious.
Completely. I don't understand.
Don't mess that word up. You're getting fired.
You get sloppy. Anyway. I'm looking at the Kerr run, and it's champs losing the finals, champs losing the finals. Steph and Draymond and Clay are all out. You stink. And then, you know, the shortened year, you go to the play-in, you don't make it. Okay, hot seat. Oh, then you win the title.
You won the championship.
The next year. Yeah. And then it's, you know, playoffs and loss. And then last year, play-in, you didn't do it. This year, playoffs and you lost. Okay, so we're going to put him on the hot seat. He went to the finals 6 times in 11 years, and he won 4 titles. You can't win them all. And the idea about the offense and does it work? Is it working or not? It seems to me that it still works pretty well. You won 48 games last year, and Steph Curry is still looking like one of the best players currently in basketball.
Right, and after Butler arrived, they were one of the best teams in the NBA.
So let's just play this out in the future, assuming Steve Kerr is still here. I don't think he will be. And Steph is gone, and Jimmy's gone, and Draymond's gone, and you've got Kuminga and Pods and who knows who else.
Yeah.
Do you think Steve is going to still run this offense with that group?
No.
Of course not.
He didn't run this offense after Steph Curry got hurt.
Right.
He changed the offense. Unable to change it on the fly fast enough. I don't put that on him. I don't put it on Jonathan. Again, all circumstances, and why would we make assessments about the grand scheme of a team based on 4 games, especially 4 games without your best player? I think that's kind of wild. But bottom line is this, to me, maybe that gets to, you know, go back to Filmo Mike's call. He wants to put me on the hot seat.
Mm.
I think at the core of all of this might be that idea. I think some of you think this is not working.
You are on the hot seat, Mark Willard.
I think it's working. And that's fine. You can think that it's not working. I think this is working. I think it's working wonderfully. And I think when your players are over 30 years old, this is insane. It's absolutely bat bleep crazy that the Warriors, with the players being as old as they are, can even flirt with the idea of making a handful of us think that they might have actually been a contender. That's crazy. We've all detailed the fact that that's never happened before.
Right.
It's never happened in the history of ever. But this group has us believing, some of us, that it's at least in theory on the table. Yet then they lose four games and we're like back to the drawing board. This isn't working. No, I think this is working. This is working, and this is what it looks like, and you have to deal with the reality of someone might get hurt at the wrong time. And if it does, you lose. Well, you lose. I don't know what the other contention option looks like, twisting your offense to somebody else who's on the roster or whatever.
It would be a dramatic move that cost you a bunch of future assets and current players, and it would be more of a Hail Mary than it is to assume that these guys come back all older, stay healthy, and you can go on a run. Just, you know, hearing you lay that out, they are closer to this actually might work than it is, oh, we blow this thing up, it's a disaster.
No,
if that's a timeline, right, and you put a championship on the far right and you put, oh my God, we're going to be terrible on the left and it's a sliding scale, you're much closer to the, you know what, we come back next year, we get a few breaks, they stay healthy,
yeah.
The bracket falls our way, it could happen. Now, I mean, if a championship is a 10 and blow it up, we stink as a 0 on that timeline, I'd put this at about a 6.5. It's leaning toward, now they're not a 9, like, oh yeah, you come back next year and you're for sure right there. But this is definitely not a 1, which is like, oh my God, I can't believe they're running this thing back.
Of course not. Yeah, one of the bigger bummers, and again, I just think everything revolves around Steph Curry's hamstring. One of the bigger bummers about that is that it feels like a lot of Warrior fans have sort of lost access to the feeling we had when Jimmy Butler arrived and then started playing the way he did. Like I think Jimmy Butler's arrival and the rest of the regular season has kind of become the password for that website you haven't been to in a year. Y'all forgot.
You need that two-factor authentication.
Oh yeah, we gotta you know, click the forgot password and then hope that email shows up. Lately, it doesn't. I've tried to do this a bunch of times lately. Okay, we've emailed you directions on how to reset your password. No, you didn't.
I'm still waiting for that 6-digit code, you know, because then you enter the 6-digit,
totally.
And then you reset the password and you're in. But I think that's a decent way to describe it, because when Jimmy came, they were stuck in the mud, right about 500, and we all were talking about, play-in,
yeah.
Forget the 6 seed. They're not getting the 6, and I know they eventually didn't, but it was like, can they get to 9? Can they host that first play-in game, and then maybe you get a chance to go on the road and you win that, and you get the 8 seed, and heck, you know, you take your chances from there. And Jimmy comes, and they start cooking. And then we were even talking about, you know what, Mark? Mathematically, the 4 is not out of the question.
The 4 was on, it was in play.
It was in play with about 5 games to go. It's
totally.
Like, so
totally.
I do want to, you know, keep remembering that.
Yeah, the Warriors were good. They were good. They were really good in the second half of the year last year. Jonathan in Fremont. Hi, Jonathan. Thank you for the call. What's up?
Hey, man. I got a first-time listener, long-time caller. What's up, Willard and Dibbs?
Nice.
Woof. Yeah. What's up?
Tough to call when you're not
kind
listening.
That was already a hot take, Jonathan. Like, that one kind of stopped me in my tracks.
I got a hotter take for y'all, man.
All right,
I want to put big money Mike Greer, San Jose Sharks GM, on the hot seat for the season.
Yeah, I mean, how much longer does he get? Because I'm just looking at his 3 years that he's been here, and they've won 22, 19, and 20. And now you've got the golden child, Macklin Celebrini. How good do they need to be this season for you?
Well, I think they just need to take the next step. Like, right, this is the season that separates, you know, the poverty franchises from the other franchises that take the next step to making the championship. I mean, he's done an amazing job so far dumping all those extra cap, you know, getting rid of the bad contracts and some of the older players. They got the second overall pick this year. I hope they take Michael Mesa. But this is the season. This has to be the season that makes or breaks the team, or they, you know, make that next step to being a championship team or being a competitor.
Jonathan, I was going to ask you. You got there before I even asked. I was wondering who you wanted them. The draft is later this month, right? It's about 4 weeks away.
Michael Mesa. I want him. Yep.
Michael Mesa. I was going to say the same thing. Give me Michael Mesa in that NHL draft coming up later this month.
Yeah. It's interesting that you call with that, Jonathan, because we were talking yesterday about droughts, and the Sharks didn't win a championship, but just looking at their run, they made the playoffs about 12 or 13 years, and then, as Jonathan was saying, they kind of blew it up, and it's been six straight years of no playoffs.
Right.
So, and we talked about, you know, 6 years for the Spurs it took, and, you know, the Warriors went through 12 years and all the rest of it. So, I mean, 6 years now, that's been some time.
It's not fun, is it?
No.
It's not fun.
Well, then they win the lottery and they get their Victor Wembanyama in Macklin Celebrini.
So, but then when you get that, though, and the number two pick coming up again this year, when you get that, then that now you got to go through the process of hoping that that's your new core, and then they need to grow into that. They're babies. They're wee little babies. They're just like Bryce Eldridge. They're just a little thing. You got to wait. You got to wait. So I get where you're coming from, and my bet is that our caller probably knows a hell of a lot more about the intricacies of the San Jose Sharks than we do. I'm not going to fake the funk on that.
Right.
But to me, that feels a little early. It feels a little early to ask when you start getting these great draft picks and then you put them in the system. And I know hockey is one. Like, Celebrini was already a really productive player when he was out on the ice. It feels a little early to go then say the next season – this is where you've got to really contend. I think you've got to see growth. You have to see and feel like you're on the right track. And so that has to show up in the standings, but I'm not going to put some sort of deep playoff contention on the line next year to think that they've got the right people in place. That feels a little soon.
It does, and just looking at the roster, and I'm not going to fake the funk either, but Macklin Celebrini, he's going to be 19 in 10 days. And 19, Mark. No, 19.
He's younger than Bryce Eldridge.
He's younger than my younger son. And then the guy they took in 2023 with their first pick, number four overall, Will Smith, he just turned 20. So your top two picks in the last 2 years are almost 19 and 20, respectively. So those guys are going to have to really grow into, I don't know, being adults before we start to look at them and say, all right, carry your franchise, you two.
I think the United States needs a new law. And that is if your last name is Smith, you can't name your kid Will. It's too much. It's too much. You cannot tell me the 2023 pick in the NHL draft, an actor who once slapped Chris Rock, a closer once upon a time for the San Francisco Giants, the catcher for the Dodgers, and I think maybe was there like a lineman for the Saints or something like that? It's too much. It's too much. And why, seemingly, if your kid is named Will Smith, why are they such good athletes? Holy hell. Like, it's way too out of whack. And I'm sorry, there's no more room here. So if your name is Will Smith, you're now going by William or Bill.
Billy?
Or Billy.
Wilbert?
But no, Wilbert. But not Will.
Well.
Wilmer.
How about Willard?
Fine.
That's Will Smith's real name. Not the hockey player. Not the catcher.
Which one?
Not the reliever. The guy who slapped Chris Rock.
Oh, is his first name actually Willard?
Willard Carroll Smith II.
Didn't know it.
Didn't either until I Googled it.
Didn't know it.
You got to Google it.
Yeah, welcome to the family.
Yeah.
My man.
Willard.
Keep your hands down.
Yep.
Good Lord. Robert in Sonora is next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Robert. What are you doing?
I am working and driving to Fremont now, so I'm happy, and I got you guys on. Wanted to talk a little bit, bring this back to the Golden State Warriors again.
Okay.
We're used to these roots of the championships, and we fell short, obviously, once he got hurt, Steph got hurt, so we all kind of knew that was going to come, and see if we can ride Jimmy Butler and see how far he can take us with a short year. But my question to you guys and the conversation I like to have is, which big do we pick up? I called in a month ago and talked to you guys about picking up a big. We haven't had a big since Bogut. That was me that talked to you about that. And that's kind of, you know, there's a lot of speculation, a lot of talk. You got Porzingis out there, which I'm really hoping and praying we do not pick up Porzingis.
The guy is just soft and hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Very talented. He's not going to play for us. I just don't see the playoffs coming, and we pick him up, and that guy's showing up.
Okay. Yeah, so, Robert. Yeah, I feel you. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it. I don't know. After talking to Bobby Marks like we did yesterday, and there's a piece of me that hopes that this is just kind of the perception coming out of the conversation, but my mind sort of immediately left anybody who is very, very high-priced. What's the number on the last year for Porzingis?
30.7.
Yeah, I'm out.
Well, they can't afford it.
They can't do it. They can't do it unless Jimmy or Draymond's not on the team.
Or if they want Kuminga in a sign-and-trade and you throw in Moody and Buddy. That would get you to about 30.
Somebody with the Dubs said to me, literally the day, I think it was it the day after the Jordan Poole trade? Might have been the day after the Jordan Poole trade. Somebody with the Dubs said to me, this new CBA is coming, and the idea of having three people on your roster making north of $30 million is a flat, hard no. Never, ever, ever going to happen.
And you know, Boston next year has, they have four.
Right.
They've got Brown, who you're not trading, Tatum, who may not play all year with the Achilles. Drew Holiday's making 32. Kristaps is making 30. So those two are the main targets to possibly move.
And that's why one of them's going to move.
Well, Holiday's 32, 35, 37. Porzingis is just one more year.
Yeah, that's why they got to trim this thing down. What's Derek White making?
Derek White is making 28.
Damn, dude. Yeah, that is top flipping heavy.
Yeah,
and so what they're going to do is they're going to lose some of their young free agents because they're going to come of age, need contracts. Boston can't sign them. Plus, they know they're not going to win next year because Jason Tatum is out.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, yeah, dude, there's like, you got to get rid of him. And they're going to have a hard time finding people to take him because other teams, for the most part, are in the same kind of boat. And, oh, by the way, when you add the Warriors into this, when you say, oh, we're not going to have three people over 30, remember, two of them are over 50.
Yep.
And then you already have one at 25. Bobby Marks, I think, said yesterday it's 85% of the Warriors' salary.
It's about right.
It's just those three people. And you're going to go, like, this is, by, oh, I'm glad this came up. And if Steiny or Gu are listening, if either of you are listening, they did this thing earlier today, like, mythical, let's say the Warriors got the number one overall pick. What would you do? Would you keep it and draft Cooper Flagg, or would you package it and go get Giannis? Probably won't surprise you. Gu wanted to package it to go Giannis. And both Evan and Steiny wanted to keep it and draft Cooper Flagg. And as I'm driving around, I'm like, I can see both of your basketball points, but the point that never came up was money. The point that never came up was money. You can have Cooper Flagg immediately on this team. Like, Cooper Flagg, mythical now. If you had the he can go just, you can just draft him and sign him, and he gets to play with Steph and Jimmy and Draymond. If you have another $50 million player come in, yes, it either means Jimmy or Draymond are gone, and it also means you have no ability to do anything else around them. So for me, I was like, Cooper Flagg is my answer, but not for basketball reasons, for money. So I just see the Warriors as out on anything that's north of $30 million.
And even getting Cooper Flagg, that's going to cost you $13.8 next year, slotted as the number one overall. So it's not like you're getting him for what you're paying Pods, which is like $2 million relative chump change. So you slapping 13.8 right away on Cooper Flagg, and you know already they're in a dangerous spot because I'm looking at all the teams in the association, and there aren't many with three guys making more than 30. Phoenix is obviously one,
and they're going to dump.
They're in a world of hurt.
Yep.
And as I'm going through, I'm not seeing a lot of other ones. Cleveland is an interesting one because next year they're going to have 39, 46, and 46 in Garland, Mitchell, and Mobley.
And one of them might be gone.
Okay, because they're going to be in a spot where they're going to have to start shedding. Because if you're up above the apron in consecutive years, now you start to lose some of your things, your toys.
Right.
You get sent to your room and you lose your toys.
And I'm always telling the kids, take care of our things.
Right.
Take care of our things. So, yeah, that's just kind of how I'm looking at what the Warriors are doing. I think that inside the walls, this is unsatisfying, I know, but I think inside the walls, if you went over the Warriors facilities and you're like, we need to make a big move, I think they would look at you and say, we just did.
Right.
End of conversation.
Well, and the other answer is we can't, because you can't, you know, keep, even if you send out Draymond and you bring in Giannis for just a hypothetical, now you got three guys over 50. Another team to keep your eye on as we get toward the offseason is Denver, because they've got three making that kind of money. And, you know, like we said,
that's why Porter is
38.
That's why he's rumored to be on the block.
Murray's making 47. The Joker's making 55.
Naz Reid in Minnesota. That's why these people are available. They're good players. Teams want them. The only reason they're available is everybody's going to try to trim salary, and the Warriors have, what, two of the top five paid players in the league.
Right. Phoenix has three of the top nine.
Not for long.
Houston's got Green, Şengün, and Fred VanVleet all over 30.
Mm-hmm.
And VanVleet's the guy that they, I'm sure, would love to shed because he's making 44.9.
Totally, totally. All right, 888-957-9570. Is the number. Here, we can do this one real quick. Kenneth in the city. Hey, Kenneth, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here, but I was wondering about the possibility of bringing back JP and then maybe offloading Draymond. I know Draymond and Thompson had some beef with him, but they'll be off the team, and maybe we can get our point guard back JP Splash Brother coming back into town.
Okay, Kenneth, thank you for that. I would answer that by saying, look, even beyond the obvious complexities, you know, like when we say, oh, just offload Draymond. Well, what does that mean? How do you do that? Where is he going? How are you, like it would need to be some sort of a 3 or 4 team wheel where someone's getting Draymond, you're getting Jordan Poole back. But the next question would be, how does that help you? I understand from an entertainment standpoint and for some fans from an emotional standpoint, you like that idea. I can only give you my opinion. Boy, you became a worse basketball team today if you give up Draymond Green in exchange for Jordan Poole. You became a significantly worse basketball team.
I agree, and the number one reason, it's no shade at Jordan Poole, but I'm going to use the phrase that you've been using for a long time. That job is taken because Jordan Poole is best at having the ball and looking to score the basketball, and that job is currently occupied by the greatest Warrior and one of the best players ever to do it. So if Jordan can't do that, what really high-quality good is he to you in place of Draymond Green, who does the one thing that almost nobody in the league does, and that's defend, you know, 5 positions at a very high level?
Yeah, I don't know. Your defense would just crater. And the best teams, the teams who win the championship almost always, as you detail, have a top 5 defense. You would be a bottom half of the league defense unless you made additional moves, which, you know, kind of cost prohibitive for sure. All right. Great stuff. Glad you're with us. Still time for your calls if you want to weigh in. Who are you putting on the Bay Area Sports hot seat? If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Do it for the Morning Roast, Steiny and Goo as well. This is Willard and Dibs.
And Dan Dibley here to talk about abundant life. How much weight do you want to lose? Because I lost 25 pounds in about 8 weeks with the program at Abundant Life Weight Loss. And you too can find out the secret to losing up to 1 pound of fat every day with this great program. There's no exercise required, no counting points or calories, and no prepackaged meals. What you do is you follow the app, the program on the app, and you start to really look at what you eat. You eat healthier food, you eat less, and the pounds come off. It's not about weight loss injections, some shortcut that may work for a minute, but the weight will come back. And if you're doing that, using those injections, and you've hit a plateau, or maybe you can't handle the side effects, well, with Abundant Life, it's a better way to lose weight. No injections and no stomach issues either. The program will help you lose 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 8 weeks, and you'll do it for less money, and the weight will stay off for good. All you have to do to get started is call and get a free consultation. It's free, people. The number's 925-854-5140. Tell them you heard about it from Dibs. 925-854-5140 or go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.